The scripture lesson is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 1, followed by verses 10 through 20. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instructions of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked you this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feast and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of fatherlessness. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Now we're going to turn to the words of our gospel lesson that come from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. Hear the word. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at table, and will come and wait on him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owners of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Today we begin, we take up where we left off last week when we read the parable of the rich fool. That parable where Jesus was talking to a crowd of thousands and a man came forward and asked him to divide inheritance and things of that such. And so today Jesus continues to speak to the crowd about the way to eternal life. And he says that way is to live a life lived both here on earth that's going to translate into heaven. And so Jesus, as we read last week, was giving words of caution about things that would be a substitute for him. Now today, in today's scripture, Jesus begins talking about eternity. And we're asked this question, how ready are you? How ready are you? How often do you think about the next life? And so, as Jesus said to the man in that parable, that if you build yourself up riches on this earth, they're not going to be the same that are in heaven. And so you're going to be devoid of what you need. Well, in this week, Jesus' tone, the way he starts this, I want you to be real mindful of this, because Jesus now is talking to his followers. And he knows this topic is not an easy topic. The topic about leaving this world to go to the next world. And Jesus starts with these words. He says, be not afraid. Be not afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The main point, I believe, that Jesus is telling us this morning is that the riches that we have in this world are nothing compared to the riches that will accumulate in heaven by opening ourselves up to a right relationship with him in this world. Being ready to serve, being ready to extend hospitality to those that he puts in our place. But we need to be alert. And we get that warning in that latter part of the reading when Jesus talks about the person who was away from the house. And if he knew the thief was going to come, he would have prepared for it. And Jesus says this, he doesn't say this out of a threatening point today, but he says this out of a gentleness and a kindness that says, be not afraid. Don't be afraid in this life to do the things that are going to give you eternal life. Now we're told that that's so important. And that's why he takes this opportunity and stands before them and says this. You know, one of the things when Lisa and I had children, and we were commuting to work an hour and driving highways, and the area of Cleveland that we lived was very, very subject to a lot of traffic accidents. And one of the first things I remember that we did after we had Robert was we looked at each other and we thought, well, is it time for us to set up a last will and testament? You know, it was interesting about that, because when you're 25 and 24, you think, well, do we really need to spend that money right now? Do we really need to do that? And then after we thought about it more, we realized that it would be really important to us what happens to our children and to our material possessions and to things if something should happen to us. And I think about that reading last week when that rich young fool was there, when the Lord told him, he said, you know, tonight your life is going to be demanded of you. You've stored up all these things. You want to build bigger barns. But what good is it? What good is it if your life is demanded of you and you haven't been rich in the kingdom of God? And so I remember taking that time and going to the attorney's office to write that up. And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing to do. But in essence, it was a smart thing. Because not only did it show our wishes and stuff like that, but it would influence what would happen to the people we loved around us should something happen. And so when we do that, we kind of ensure about what we want to see happen. And I thought about that, and I thought about our last will and testament, and basically, do we have a last will and testament as Christians that applies towards God? Have we taken the time in our spiritual lives today to kind of write down what's most important for us? To kind of write down what we would see, we would want to see happening in the kingdom of God, not only in our own family lives, but in our community and in this very church. Have we taken the time to do that? And the question is, then once again, how ready are you? I guess this also brings up the question of, do you have a plan for eternity? What is it that you're going to do or believe and say in this world that's going to translate to the next? And have you been rich towards the kingdom of God and saved a treasure in heaven? So it's a good time for us to just kind of think about where we are and where we're going and where we need to be. Now, Jesus today, once again, he starts with that, be not afraid. He's not wanting us to kind of get upset about, you know, what might happen as far as being called like that. But what he's saying is, while you're on this earth, do those things that are going to make a difference to people. Do those things that are going to help people. Do those things that not only are going to be important to others, but that are going to put us in a one-to-one relationship, a right relationship with you. And so we go back to that question, how ready are you? You know, the other day, this was last week, I think, I stopped to get gas at one of the Sunoco, you know, out there on Hamilton Cleves. You know what I'm talking about. And there was a bunch of people in there talking about the lottery. Did you hear the news about the lottery? And as this group of people were sitting around the counter talking, some of them had coffee, you know, one of the people said, you know, if I could just win that money, I could afford to be generous to so many other people. And other people were chiming in, talking about, wow, if I could only win that money. And they kept talking about different things. And I was trying not to pay for my gas without kind of eavesdropping, but I kept wanting to get closer and closer to hear. I always love to hear what people say about what if I won the lottery. And then on the internet this week, we met this guy. $149.4 million. But you see, the kingdom of heaven doesn't work like that. We don't wait until we have millions to do the work of God or just to extend ourselves to one another as Christians and love and fellowship. One of the things I heard about this gentleman was that he made the comment, and whether it was a smug comment or not, but he made the comment that, I always knew this was going to happen. And I thought, wow, I could say that too. I always knew this was going to happen. But the chance of this happening is just amazing. But I kind of put another spin on it, and I kind of think, you know, it's so easy for everybody to get drawn to this when Jesus has always told us, we've always knew that there is a blessing and a richness and a salvation after we leave this earth. So that same feeling of winning the lottery is basically that same feeling that Jesus says, wait a minute, don't put your trust in that, but put your trust in those things that make you feel rich in the kingdom, rich in the kingdom. And that comes by not waiting. You know, I guess if we ever wait to have what we think is enough, that time will never, ever come. He says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I don't know how much more of an invitation that is, a nice invitation. And then we're told that in the scriptures here, that he says how we can do that, by sell your possessions, give alms, okay? And then he says something about purses. Make for yourself purses that are filled with spiritual treasures. Now, a lot of us here carry purses. Okay? One of the things as a man that amazes me about purses is, number one, I just can't ever understand how women can get so many things in a purse. Number one. Number two, sometimes I don't know how that they don't have shoulder injuries from all the stuff that's in the purses. I guess the other thing is, I'm still trying to figure out why you have to have a purse for every season. That's just one of the things. It's like clockwork. It'll be a September, and my wife will say, I need to get a new purse. And I'll go, well, what's wrong with the old one? She goes, that's my summer purse. This is my fall purse. Any of you do that, change purses? Yeah. As a man, it's kind of interesting. Well, back in the days of Jesus, everybody carried a purse, male and female. And in that purse, they kept things for their journey, for their life. And one of the things that they kept in there was also money, like we keep our wallets in our purses. And God says, you know, you should carry these purses, but in these purses, have those things that are going to lead to eternal life and spiritual life. Purses that are filled with unfailing treasures in heaven. Be prepared for whatever it is that's going to come your way, because when it does, you've got that in your purse. I'm still amazed about purses. I remember when the kids were toddlers and being potty trained and all that, and when that accidents would happen. I mean, the stuff she would pull out of her purse. And I go, where did you put that at? And she goes, well, it's just, you know, here. But, you know, there's something to being prepared. There's something to being ready. And what that is, it's nothing that Jesus threatens us with. It's something that he opens up joyfully and says, be not afraid, because your Father is so steeped in pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Now, we do this. We prepare for these purses by how we live, the people we choose to talk with and help, our own personal testimonies, the things we care about. And sometimes those treasures that we give away here on earth are those things that he's talking about, those treasures in heaven. At the last church I served at, we were kind of on a pretty visible location, just kind of in town. And I'll never forget that on one Sunday afternoon, I went back to the church, because I like to do that on Sunday afternoons to kind of get my head regrouped for the next week to come. And there was obviously a knock at the door, and here it was, a couple. And this couple had been in town, had actually been to the local grocery store. And believe it or not, in the grocery store, wallet was taken. Okay. Did you ever leave your purse in the top part of the grocery cart, and you're kind of like maybe reaching there? Well, and I don't know why, but for example, there was no video footage and things like that, but purse was taken with the man's wallet in it. And the couple came and knocked at the door, and they said, you know, I know you're a Christian church and we're Christians, but this is what happened to us. We've been trying to get family on the cell phone, trying to get some family to bring us some money, but we're about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from where we need to be. Do you think you can give me some money so I could get some? We can get the gasoline in our car where we're going to get? And I said to them, I said, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. And so we kind of went down to where the gas station was, and got their car filled up. And I wasn't going to ask anything of them. But the man and his wife said, you know, can we have your card? And I said, sure. And they thanked me profusely. And then they went on their way. And, you know, 1 week passed and nothing happened. I thought, well, maybe they'll give back. Maybe they seem like an honest, respectable couple. Maybe they'll give back. And after 1 week, it didn't happen. And then I kind of felt like, they seem like the kind of people that would be courteous that way, but they didn't. And all of a sudden, I started to be filled with doubt about, should I really have helped these persons or not? And then that next Friday, the mail came in, and there was an envelope from them. And I'd filled their car up with gas for about $44. There was an envelope check in that envelope for $500. And the message they put in was a message of thanks. And then they said to me, use this money for someone else who is in need, who cannot pay it back. And I thought, wow, that's a treasure in heaven. And then I thought about what I was feeling, and I realized, it's easy to give when we give to somebody we know that's going to give back to us. But what about when we give to those people who don't, or who can't, or who won't? It's easy for us to love those people who love us. But how difficult it is for us to love someone or extend ourselves to someone who keeps slamming a door in our face. It's easy to be in situations when we're going to feel like we're on top of things. But what about those situations in our lives where we have to depend wholly on God? That taught me a lot about purses in heaven and purses that we store up things on earth. And it reminded me that what we do, what we think, what we feel has everything to do about that purse that we're building up for heaven. The people that we reach out to, the things that we take risks for. And in order to build that purse in heaven, those are the kind of things we're going to need to concentrate on. Now, there is a book called The Apocryphal Acts of Thomas. And Thomas, the disciple of Jesus Christ, there's a story in that book about Thomas being sent to India. And in this, as the story goes, the chief magistrate, the king, hired Thomas to build his palace. Anybody know this story? He hired Thomas to build this palace. And so what he would do is he would give Thomas the money and the materials, and he'd say, okay, here, I'm trusting it to you. I need you to build me this palace so I can go on and reign in glory. And what Thomas did was every time he took a draw of money, he ended up giving the money to the needy and to the poor and never told the king. So after a while, as you can imagine, the king keeps asking him, can I see the progress my palace is in? And Thomas kind of keeps putting him off until the one day when the king says, okay, that's it. I need to see my palace. And Thomas looks him straight in the eye and says this, you can't see it here, but you'll see it when you go to the next life in heaven. For I have built you a palace on heavenly things. And when you depart this life, your palace will be there waiting for you. Interestingly enough, the king was humbled by Thomas and actually became a Christian. But it's a good story for us to kind of frame this whole message about the things that we think in this earth that are going to mean everything and anything really don't have the merit, but it's those spiritual things that we do and we say that fill those purses. When we get in that scripture and Jesus says that, be not afraid, it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he says, sell your possessions. That doesn't mean sell your house, go on the street and be poor and destitute. No, it doesn't mean that. But what he's saying is there is that in this life, don't ever let your possessions take over your soul. In this life, make sure that what you have, whatever you have, large or small, that you're giving alms, that you're sharing it. And finally, make those purses that don't wear out, unfailing treasures in heaven. And so as we go forth this day, I want us to focus on our lives. I want us to focus on things we do as people and as persons, and to continue not to be filled with fear. Because Jesus, when he starts that, do not be afraid, he kind of takes the fear out of it. But let's live in the peace and the knowledge that of the things that we do and what we say, we're being his hands and feet in this world. And from that, we're building up true treasures in heaven. True treasures in heaven. Now, I know today that each and every one of us has someone in our minds. Someone in our minds that has done that. We have someone in our minds that has modeled that to us. The real hard place is within ourselves and our humanness. And like I said, it's easy to give to those who give back. It's easy to love to those who love back. But the challenge today, the testimony that Jesus leaves us with today, is keep doing what you're doing in this world and make sure it's centered on coming to my kingdom. And the things I've blessed you with, if you're blessed with winning the lottery, but use it to God's glory, because remember who gave it to you at first. And so what I'd like to do today is I'd like to just have us all kind of pray and meditate about what, first of all, our eternal kingdom and how important that is to us and to Jesus as he gives us this scripture today. And I want to leave you with a song, and this is a song called Ready, Lord. And I hope you're blessed, because I love this song. It kind of tells me every day about the things that I need to do to follow where Jesus leads. And I ask that you be blessed by the spirit of this music. Ready, Lord, I'm ready, Lord, to follow where you lead. Show me, Lord, just show me, Lord, the service you will need. Ready, Lord, I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready, come what may. So call me, Lord, yes, call me, Lord, and I'll be on your way. Feed your lambs, I'll feed your lambs, the first of all with food. Give them drink and comfort them and build their fortitude. Then I'll feed them with the words you fed me with until I'm ready, Lord, yes, ready, Lord, to go and do your will. Moving, Lord, I'm moving, Lord, I'm moving eagerly. Thank you, Lord, oh, thank you, Lord, oh, thank you, Lord. Ready, Lord, I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready, come what may.
So call me Lord, yes, call me Lord, and I'll be on your way. If today's my final day on earth, thank you, Lord, oh, thank you, Lord, for life, for breath, for birth. If this town is gonna be my final resting place, I'm ready, Lord, yes, ready, Lord, to meet you face to face. Ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord.
Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for that invitation to your kingdom. We thank you for those words, be not afraid. And now, Lord, as we go forth, we take with you your word. We take with you your power, armed with your glory. Our purse is filled with spiritual things. God, we thank you and we bless you.